It's so nice and quiet here. You know, in the Beis HaMikdash, there was the center of our avoda was in the Beis HaMikdash, and it was a very busy place. There was a lot going on from before the sunrise until the end of the day, and also all overnight. It was very busy all the time. But there is one place inside of the Beis HaMikdash, or in the Mishkan, where it's always quiet. And that's inside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, because no one's in there, and there's no loud avoda being done there, and there's no singing in there, and there's no mooing of cows, and there's no buying of sheep, and no maying of goats. It's a place, and no bustle and hustle of people moving and doing and running, because the Beis HaMikdash is a place of incredible activity. But inside, its holiest place, which is the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it's a place of quietness. You know, the Holy of Holies of connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the end, it's a quiet place. We do a lot of avoda. We do a lot of service of Hashem's Gezun that's in noise. We're very busy. We're very good at being busy. But the connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is something that's inside of us, you know, to be able to access really feeling close to Hashem, for that you need actually some quiet, some space. Think about how it feels. You're trying to daven Shmona Esrei. It's Gezun. The highest, the holiest place in the Beis HaMikdash is the quiet place, yeah? Is the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The highest part of the tefillah is what? The Shmona Esrei. What is the Shmona Esrei? Quiet. Inside of yourself, you have to have the capacity to be able to be in peace and quiet. And I wasn't saying stam on the bus because I wanted people to hear me, okay? It's because in Avodas Hashem, to be able to cultivate within oneself the place of quiet and being still is extremely important. I may be sitting here like, you know, in a position that's not necessarily so comfortable for people, or it might look a little strange. Physically, it's very comfortable for me to sit this way, and also I have the guitar and I have other things to do. So I prefer not to be on a chair. It just means less apparatus for me. It's easier. Everything's around me. So it doesn't mean you have to sit in this kind of position or that kind of position. It doesn't make a difference. But to be able to find the place of quiet within oneself is extremely, extremely important. And a lot of times we're not so comfortable with being quiet. To be with people that we love and to just be able to look at them and be with them and not have to say anything and not have to make a suggestion or tell a story or entertain anybody, but just to be able to be, like for me, if it was me, I would love to just sit here with you and be quiet with you. I don't want to talk to you. I just want to be with you and be in quiet with you. It's such a beautiful, quiet place here. Now, I picked this. This is a side point. I wasn't planning to talk about it. I picked this over there. This is oats. You like to eat oats? Mm-hmm. These are wild oats. Now, these are already let go of their seeds. We still have some seeds here. If I was going to take them out of the piece inside and peel them, I could put them in my mouth and chew on them, and they would give me nutrition. Yes? This is the season of the ripening of the grain in Eretz Yisrael. Everywhere you travel, look around for stalks that look like this with little bits. Sometimes they have heads like this. Sometimes heads a little bit thicker. Sometimes more spread out. Sometimes they're like this. These are the oats. Okay, it is in this season of the year that we brought the Omer offering. We're counting the Omer. This is not barley. This is oats. But it's the season of the ripening of the grain. Then you know what happens in the summer? The ripening of the fruits. The fruits are starting to form now. And then all of the fruits of Eretz Yisrael, the best of the fruits. What are the best of the fruits of Eretz Yisrael? Eretz chita, usorah, v'gefen, te'enar, yomon, zeit shemen. Yeah, that's an olive tree over there. That's an olive tree over there. They won't come to ripeness until when? Guess when they'll be ready to be picked? Chanukah. That's when they'll be ripe. And I did the masik last year. I took a student out to Shoeva, and we're eating the olives. I marinated and pickled the olives. It took months to get the bitter out of them, and they are. Okay, so the ripening of the grain. Grain for us, for Jews, is about your mind. It's about your capacity to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through your consciousness, That's what grain is. Grain feeds the mind. Every one of the grains, you know what it's filled with, aside from carbohydrate? In terms of vitamins, who studied nutrition? B vitamins. B vitamins are in the grains, okay? Except for B12, the B6, the B2, niacin, riboflavin. These are the vitamins. What do they feed? Your mind. They feed your mind, proper nervous system, especially functioning of the mind, okay? So as we're getting to Kabbalah Satorah, what ripens in Eretz Yisrael and comes to fullness and then can be harvested? The food of the mind. The Sfiras HaOmer, you see, everything in Eretz Yisrael, this is what it means to be in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, the physicality of the space is the big picture of the spiritual process that you go through in your own body and in your own mind from season to season, from year to year. That's one of the great advantages of being in Eretz Yisrael, because you're in tune with the seasons of the development of things that are living and growing around you and with you. I wasn't going to talk to you about this, but it's actually very important. Now, so I was only inspired to do it because of seeing the oats, okay? So you know that during the Omer, it's the time of the ripening of the barley, yeah? The barley is about what? I'm sure this idea you've heard of before. Barley is human food or animal food? It's animal feed. So this is an idea everybody's familiar with. It's Parsha Sota, right? Her offering, the Sota's offering, is of barley. Because the Chazals tell us, Rashi says right on the spot, she did a masa behema, she has to bring machal behema. She did something that was animalistic, she has to bring, It's not a bad food. You can make matzah out of barley if you really wanted to work hard. You could. It's one of the five grains. It will feed you, yeah? But it's parallels. We bring, so look, the 7 weeks of the Sfira is during the ripening of the barley harvest, and the grain of the wheat is getting ready to be harvested. Shavuos, we're going to harvest the wheat, and then we make the first chadash, the bringing of the first wheat crop, which is brought in the Shtei HaLechem, that two loaves that are brought, chametz, that were brought as a korban on Shavuos. The two loaves parallel what two big, beautiful things that we have for Shavuos? Two luchos, okay? You have Torah. The fullness of consciousness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the Torah is called the wheat, not the barley, the wheat. On Pesach, Leil HaSeder, you ate matzah out of wheat. You got like a blast of awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then you have to crawl your way forward, as we know from the language of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. Like a child who's first learning how to walk at the beginning, Abba holds him and guides him, and then when he's, you know, toddling around, he lets go, and you got to go on your own. Got to start walking on your own. That is the Sfira. Okay, so I decided to do something with you I have never done with a group. I have done it only with my students. And my students, and I'm trusting you. I'm trusting that you have, like, that you're going to be able to receive this as a gift the way I intend it, okay? I thought we were going to go to Kiva Rus today. That was originally what we were thinking of, but of course it's hot, and then it was a big walk to Tel Rumeida, et cetera, a little much. So we went to our Maris Machpelah, but of course, we're heading towards Rus. You know, why is Rus called Rus? Does anyone know? Why is her name Ruth? Okay, so it says because her great grandson was Rove. What does it mean to be Rove? Well, it's not Rove like a gun. It means to saturate. Yeah, to saturate. Said her great-grandson David saturated HaKadosh Baruch Hu with shiros, with tishbachos. He wrote the Tilim. It's, of course, the yortzeit of David HaMelech is on Shavuos. So his birthday also is presumed to also have been on Shavuos. So and it was Shabbos, actually, that Shavuos, that he passed away. Very famous incident of what happened with Shlomo HaMelech and his body. So Ruth is given a name. Her name is because she's going to have a great grandson who's going to, it means that, you understand, it's not that she's given a name for him. It's that his capacity to do that comes from her. Okay, now she comes from Moab. But actually, where does she come from? Who is she? Ruth. You see, the story of Ruth is, which is really the story of Mashiach, and where the Geula comes from, is a long journey. I heard this first from my teacher, Rav Daniel Neustadt. Do you know who Rav Daniel Neustadt is? From Cleveland, yeah. So he married a granddaughter of his Rebbe, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, and Eti. And so he told us this, and this is Chidushim that he taught us Nach, and when he taught us Nach, he taught with the Chidushim of his Rebbe, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, which only later got published into a book. So we, like, you know, you heard it first. You know, we kind of got a preview because he published that. So I'm going to tell you a sod that he taught us, which is extremely important. You have, where does Rus come from? Moav, right? Right across, you saw, he showed you where Moav is? Okay. Mm-hmm. Membez, yeah. 49. No, days of Sphira. Yeah. So where does Moav come from? Okay. Yeah. So Lot, he comes from Lot. And who does Lot come from?
A nephew.
Who is his father? No, his father was Lot, was the son of the brother. His name was Haran. Haran. Okay, so where do we find Haran talked about in the Torah? Haran is spoken about in the Torah in one place. It says that Haran, well, it's twice, but Haran is first described as, there's three brothers, Avraham, the three sons of Terach are Avram, Nahor, and Haran. Nahor we learn about later because Besuel is the son of Nahor, okay? We keep it all in the family, right? All the marriages, we kept it all in the family. So we have Haran. What is he famous for? It says that Avram Avinu, we know the Medrash, but there's only one very oblique reference in the Torah. It says that Haran died in Ur Kasdim. Ur Kasdim. Ur means the fire. So Rashi says there from Chazal that it means that he died in the fire of Kasdim. Which fire of Kasdim did he die in? The one that Avram Avinu survived. Okay, so the Medrash says as follows. Avram Avinu had a brother, Haran. Haran, listen, where'd they come from? You know that Haran sounds a lot like Haran, right? Doesn't Lavan go to Haran? Okay, so Haran is from the same shoresh as Avram Avinu. And when the Medrash tells us, when Avram Avinu stood up, right, he bashed his father's idols, yeah? He got brought before Nimrod. He gets brought before the court. He's a heretic, and they're going to throw him in the fire. And Chazal tell us that Haran sat behind the stone. And he wanted to also stand up and be Mekadeshim Shemaim, but he was afraid. So he said to himself, if my brother survives, I'm going to come out and I'm going to also declare that Hashem, that there's only one God. And if he doesn't, then I'm going to stay here behind this rock. And so Avram Avinu came out from the Kivshana Esh, he came out from the fire. And Haran said, okay, I also believe in this. This is also what I believe. I'm willing to stand up. And he was burned to a crisp. And Chazal said about this, you don't do nisim for people who are relying on nisim. Self-sacrifice is for, mesiras nefesh means you trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you abandon yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not that you make a cheshbon that now that I know that it's safe, I'm going to go do it. So this is what Haran did. So Chazal, we look about Haran as he's somebody who's a mixture, an admixture. He's got his good, yes? And he's also got his place where he's very unrectified. Now, the reason why I'm sharing this with you is because it's very important to know. We say in the Zohar Kodesh, Ein leis ru'us tavid isavid. Not even a good desire that a person ever had goes lost. In the spiritual calculus, every good word, every good thought, every good desire, and of course, every good action, it lasts forever. It has ramifications. It has children. It bears fruits. You may not see it right away, but it doesn't disappear. Leis ru'us tavid, not even a good desire goes lost, these avid. Now, Haran died in the Kivshana Esh, yeah? What happened to his spark? He had a good desire or no? He meant good? Sure he meant well. So where does that go? Even though the person was not 100% L'shem Shemayim, where does it go? It goes next. It waits another moment. When's the next moment that we have? He has a child, he has, yes? Lot. Okay, is Lot all bad? No, when he's with Avram Avinu, he's good. He splits off. And even then he's a mixed bag. He saves the Malachim, he sacrifices the girl. You understand? So confusing with him. And then he gets spared, right? Why does he get spared? So the deepest sources tell us, because he has something inside of him. And again, think about it like, it's like a gem that just keeps like moving. It hasn't found its place to express itself. So Lot gets saved. He gets spared from the fire of stone. Yeah? From the destruction of stone, he gets spared. And then what happens? He's got these two daughters with him. And from them come Ammon and Moab. Yeah? Okay. So you say, is that a good thing or is that a bad thing? At the time, they thought, did they intend bad? But did they do bad? They did bad. They did bad. They didn't intend to do bad. Okay, so we have two different children come out from there. We have Ammon and Moab. Now, Ammon is from the language of Tamun. It means to try and hide the ma'aseh. Moab is like saying neon lights. Me'av. This child was the child of my father. It sounds like, yeah, it's like, well, no. You don't, you know, at least show a little shame. Okay, now Chazal tell us Ammon and Moab have two predot tovot. And later on, they're going to be spared. When it comes time that the Jewish people are coming to Eretz Yisrael, so they're left. They're left alone. We don't get into war with them. We leave them. Why? Chazal tells us because there's two predot tovot that are waiting. There are two very important little packages that are coming out of there. Na'ama Ammonis, which I'm not going to get into right now, and Rus HaMoaviyah. Rus is, now, before then, hold on. So we have Lot. And then after that, we have Moab. And then after that, Moab has a king later. And you know what his name is? His name is Eglon. And guess what? He's such a horrible entity, this Eglon. He's terrible. Hmm? Remember Eglon? Huge, huge. He's like the original Jabba the Hutt, if you remember this. Yeah, Eglon is massive, but he did something. What did he do? Does anyone remember from high school? He stood up for the Navi. He stood up for the Navi. I'm not going to get into the details of it right now. He stood up. He stood up for the Navi. It's in Sefer Shoftim. And so... Yes, correct, correct. Now, who was his daughter? Eglon's daughter. Rus and Orpah. Rus and Orpah are the daughter princesses of Moab. Okay? They are the daughters of Eglon. Now, we look at them and see them as this. They are, at the time of their being in Moab, and Hashem sent, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent Elimelech and Naomi and their sons out to Moab in order to go and rescue those. How long is it waiting already? How many hundreds and hundreds of years are we waiting to see the nekudos, those gems, those sparks of holiness and good intention and desire that they are, until they are misgalgal to the place where they're going to come and express themselves? How long does it take until they finally came? And guess what? Orpah also had a lot of potential. And they split away. The Zohar Kodesh tells us at the moment that Orpah decided to turn her Orif, the Orpah is from the language of the Orif, the back of the neck, she turned her back on Naomi. It says in the Zohar Kodesh that all of the good that was in her that she had been holding, because she was also holding, went to her sister. And all of the klipa that had been in Rus moved to the sister. And they had an exchange there. And you know what it says about Orpah? What it says, Chazal tells us about that night that she left Naomi as they were on the boundary of coming back to Eretz Yisrael. It says that Orpah left and went back to Moab. And in Moab, that night she slept with 1,000 men. What? And a dog. And a dog. And the child that she bore was? Goliath. Goliath is the antithesis of David. Yes? He's the opposite number of David. Yes? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that such a big picture? 1,000 men, a dog, Goliath. Yes? Orpah, the night that they split away, when they split away from each other at the boundary of Eretz Yisrael. I learned it in Yavne, though. Okay. So. It means she had Goliath. Goliath. Goliath, who becomes David HaKotan's opposite number. Here's the giant. He's huge. Yeah? And Goliath and David HaKotan takes him down with. It's not even so much about taking after. Let's think about what it means. It's like how long does it take until the good that's hiding latent in some place? How long can it take until it comes to express itself? And how much patience do you have to have? in order to see until it finally waits. And you know, we sort of, and why does Mashiach, why does David, and then of course by extension Mashiach, why does he have to be a child of Rus HaMoaviyah? Why does he need to have that? Rav Moshe David Vali, the Ramat Vali, who was a Talmud Chaver of the Ramchal, he was from the Italian Kabbalists. So his Perushim Anach are very powerful. He explains in the introduction to one of his versions of Rus, he says, you know, the Jewish aspect of David, his lineage from his father, you know, from Boaz, is a lot of chesed. But to be Mashiach, to be king, you can't only do chesed. You have to have a balance in the midos. And what's the opposite side of it? It's from the dinim that come from Moav. Yeah, he needs to have that. You know, it says Mashiach is like Ovadia. I'll tell you, there was a Navi Ovadia. He's the Navi who prophesied the downfall of Edom. He was a ger. Where did he come from? Edom. He was a child of Edom. So Chazal say, they use a very interesting idiom to talk about it. They say, you must cut the handle of the axe from the forest that you're going to chop down. You cut the handle of the axe from the forest that you're going to chop down. You have to go back to the shoreish of where the damage is in order to be able to fix it completely. David HaMelech has to come from Moav. He has to come from outside the Jewish people. Mashiach has to have a shoreish that comes from there because he has to be misakin all the ways to fix all the way that's inclusive, not only of the place the Jewish people come from, but where everybody comes from. He goes all the way back into the root. Now, what I wanted to do with you, I didn't really want to teach you Torah now, honestly, because I wanted to share something with you. How much time do we have? When are we leaving?
We have time. If you could teach it to your 15-year-old. So Chebe
Malchus. Okay? Blue-green is not green-blue. Yes? Blue Chebe green is not green Chebe blue. Remember your Crayola crayons?
Yes.
This is them. This is the colors. Okay? Blue-green is not green-blue. When I was 5 years old and starting first grade, I got my first box of 64 color crayons, of the Crayolas. Remember with the little sharpener in the back? Okay, I remember the night before my first day of school, sitting with them, putting them in order. I wanted to organize the colors. I was very, fascinated by them. And I had a piece, and I had a piece of paper, and I could read already. I was 5, and I could read. And I remember looking, and I was like, blue-green, green-blue. And because blue comes first when it says blue-green, I thought blue-green is going to be bluer, right? And then I saw green-blue, and I thought green-blue is going to be greener. And then I took a piece of paper, and it's the opposite. Blue-green is a bluish variation on green. And green-blue is a greenish variation on blue. The second name is more important. Here, which one's green-blue? Which one's blue-green? Green-blue, blue-green. Very good. Okay, same thing, red, yellow, yellow, red, v'chule. Okay, now, I had this printed up and laminated today for you because I wanted you to see it. So, you understand, during Sfira, when we're working through the Midos, it's that it is this tempering that, right?
Yes.
Yes? Malchus shebi yisod, correct? Okay, which means that yisod is the base, and Malchus is the variant on it, or the reflection on it, or the facet of it, okay? And so remember, your green-blue is not blue-green. They are very different from one another, yes?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They are completely different from one another, even though they share tones, but they don't share them in the same way. I want you to bear that in mind, okay? Now, we have many tefillos that are customary to say when we count Sfira. One of them is Ana B'Koach. You are familiar with Ana B'Koach?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on a second. No, listen. This is not a kumzitz. Okay? Not a kumzitz. I want to share something with you, which is the traditional Bres of Renigun and we do this for when we sing at Chanukah time. It's also customary to sing Ana B'Koach every night at Chanukah candles, or to say it. Okay, I want to share this with you because, and why am I bringing it to you now? You see, Ana B'Koach is a tefillah. Okay? By the way, it's such a tefillah that, wait, where's your second bonus set?
Second bonus.
Don't mish them up.
No.
Okay, give me this. When you finish Ana B'Koach, what are you supposed to say? Belachash. Baruch Hashem Kivod, you say Belachash. Just like when you say Shema, right? After Baruch Hashem. You say it low, low, low. Whisper it. Okay, that tells you. Do you ever notice in your Siddur? Did you ever notice in your Siddur how after every line of six words, you have Rosh Tevos, three and three? Ever wonder what that was doing there? What's it doing there? It's doing there because really the tefillah was created by one of the great, great Chachamim, Rav Nechunya ben Akane. He wrote the tefillah in order to capture the essence of those Shemos. But those 42 letters, it's 6 times 4, the 6 times 7 is 42. There's 7 lines in Anah B'Koach with 6 words apiece. Those Rosh Tevos, those initials, are 42 letters. You ever heard of the phrase, the Shem Mem Beis? Moshe Rabbeinu killed the Mitzri using the Shem Mem Beis. This happened because he used the Shem Mem Beis. It's a holy name. But you understand, look how complex it is. A name expresses the essence of something. This is a way of describing through initials, and each initial is a word, and every word expresses a way HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us. And all of that together, all of that hashgacha, all 42 dimensions plus another 7, which gets you 49 because you have Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuso Leolam Void. Yes? So you have 49 words total. Yes. Yes. That's it. So the thing is about the Shem HaMeforash, when we think about it, is like, this is all Kabbalah stuff. No. For regular people like us, this is about how we connect through the way that we throw our hearts and appeal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the way that He communicates and acts with us. So I made you these cards, okay? And I'm going to do, no, in Breslov, you probably think, you know, you hear, you know, Anah B'Koach, everyone gets excited because such pretty songs. But you should know that to only sing the first line is a problem because it's like taking the Shem of 42 and only taking out a piece of it. It's not a full Shem, it's a problem. In Breslov, what we do is we say every word 7 times. Every word we sing 7 times.
How do you say it?
Yes, it's not only Breslovers. They're Hasidisha, a lot of Hasidisha, and it can sound similar, and they have, okay, so we have a particular niggun. I know that other Hasidisha also have, so 7 times. Now, what's the advantage of 7 times? Listen, we're in such a rush, you know? We're in such a rush. But you know how it is, if you ever sit at a kumzitz or you're listening to music or something, or you're singing Shabbos mirrors, you know, it's like you know how people move on before you're really ready to move on? Because you're just starting to understand even just what the word means, just what that pasuk is even saying. And you want to sing it again and again just to feel it, but you don't have time. This way of saying Anah B'Koach allows you the time to absorb it, okay? And every word is a tefillah. It's a tefillah b'fnei atzma. Yes. Yeah?
You remember that? And the girls were standing there in that central, and they forced them to get out, but you know, the government.
No, I've lived in. No, I've been living here for a long time.
Ah.
You have Paris 67 on the cosmic menorah. I just saw something.
Also, sphere. Yes, correct. It is a menorah. Correct. It's also, it's 49. Yeah, yeah. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, so this is not a spectator sport, and if there's conversation, then it's going to be difficult for other people to focus. If you cannot bear it and you need to go do something else, please distance yourself, okay? I hope that you're going to have the gedut for it, yeah? You will, you think? We'll see. Okay, you're up first. Okay. Pay attention to where we are. And listen, you have just like... It's a tefillah. I hope we're going to get to be able to do this together, like in a good way. Okay? Shem Yazor. If you want to hum, hum. You want to sing the words with me, sing the words with me. You want to close your eyes and just hear it, hear it. You want to do whatever you want to do, bevakasha. Okay? Ano. Ah. Every word, you pick it up and you show them. Sorry, you're help. You're going to help everybody. While we say 7 times that word, then you move on to your next one. Just hold it up, and then you go to the next one, and then you go to the next one. You have 7, and everybody's got 7. Got it? That way you see what it is, what the word is, and also what it means. Yes? I know. Yemincha, 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 yemincha. Tati, 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 tati. Tzura, 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 tzura. Kabel, 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 kabel. Rinas, 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 rinas. Rinas, rinas, rinas. Amcho, 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 amcho. Sagveinu, 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 sagveinu. Tareinu, 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 tareinu. Noira, 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 noira. No, 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 gibo, 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 gibo. Doshay, 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 doshay. Yichudcha, 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 yichudcha. Kevavas, 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 kevavas. Shomrim, 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 shomrim. Bochem, 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 bochem. Taharim, 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 taharim. Rachamei, 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 rachamei. Tikaska, 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 tikaska. Tami, 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 tami. Chaim bochem bochem bochem. Taharim 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 taharim. Chasin 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 chasin. Kadosh, 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 kadosh. Berov, 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 berov. Tuvcha, 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 tuvcha. Nahel, 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 nahel. Adasecho, 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 adasecho. Yachid, yachid, yachid. Yachid, 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 Yachid. Geye, 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 geye. Ram choliyam, 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 קדושה שכה, קדושה שכה, קדושה שכה, קדושה שכה, קדושה שכה. שבסינו, 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 שבסינו. כבל, 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 כבל. ושמע ושמע, ושמע ושמע. ושמע 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 צקסינו 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 יודע 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 תלומוס 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 So you have, we're closing up the week of Yesod, we're starting the week of Malchus, yes? We're like in transition. And I don't know how long, I don't want to talk too long, but let's just say that like you could spend 6 weeks, I mentioned this on the bus, spend 6 weeks like figuring out what's going on with you, you know? 6 weeks, just getting like a, like taking diagnostics, 6 weeks. Try and do what you can do. Try and, I don't know, speak with a little bit more of self-restraint, a little bit more care about this, a little bit more care about that, a little go beyond the extra, take, you know, go a little bit beyond your usual in terms of stretch yourself a little bit, 6 weeks. But the thing is, let's just talk about what this week of Malchus is going to be, okay? It's very, very important. See, each of the midos, you know, you have some understanding of what they are, right? Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yisod. All of these are really where the work is. That's where the midos are. Malchus is not a mida b'fnei atzma. It's not a mida in and of itself. It's about something else. See, let's think about it like this. However you understand Chesed, okay, and all of its dimensions, Chesed sheba Chesed, Gvura sheba Chesed, Tiferes sheba Chesed, all of that. As I mentioned on the bus, right? Said you could do chesed, but you could be a little bit overwhelming with your chesed. You could be a little bit, you know, I'm not so good with boundaries around chesed. It could be that I'm a little bit squashing of other people with my chesed. Okay, so we have lots of work to do in chesed. See, but the thing I mentioned, the last of them, does anybody remember what I mentioned about Malchus Sheba Chesed? No, Malchus Sheba Chesed. Malchus Sheba Chesed could be, like we said on the bus, the Malchus is like using your mouth or davening about it. It's a lot of dimensions. But when it's going to be Chesed Sheba Malchus, when it's going to be Chesed Sheba Malchus, that's tonight. So when it's going to be Chesed Sheba Malchus, tonight, tomorrow, it's something that it has, it always needs action. See, the thing is, Chesed Sheba Malchus, let's say, what is Malchus? How do you even understand Malchus? You could say action, you could say tefillah. What's Malchus? When you think about Malchus with a capital M, you know? Ein od milvado. There's nothing but nothing but nothing but Hashem. Malchus. Malchus yosechon es shofos. Okay, so Malchus. So when you do chesed shebe Malchus, you become a little bit, you want to be a little bit like Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu, when he did chesed, he would not have considered it a successful act of chesed if the recipient of that chesed didn't see that it was Hashem who did him the chesed and it wasn't Avram, right? So he made himself transparent to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus, which shone through him. And so we say, he made himself, we say, Ha'avos Hein Hein Amarkava. Yes? The our forefathers, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and also go with them, Sarif, Gerech, Valeya, is they are themselves the Merkava. What is a Merkava? How do you translate chariot, that? Chariot. Okay, I don't like chariot. You know why? Because chariot is like, you know, it's like we don't really identify. A Merkava is a vehicle. What is the purpose of a vehicle? The vehicle is the space that is made use of by the one who drives the vehicle in order to get from where you are to where you want to get to. Yes? When we say ha'avos hinei merkava, we think about them as the dynamics of the full perfection of that midah ad kidei kach, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ki'ilu, his presence, his eino milvado presence, rides on them. Do you understand? That they just do the action, but they are doing it just as a pure kli for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chesed to be known in the world. And so too with Gvur, Tiferes, Netzachod, and Yisod. Okay? So this last week of Malchus, this is exactly the moments that I was like, oh, I want to go. It's for this time of day that I was like, it's kedai to go to Avogot. For this, you feel that Avir Nach Vizach? Yes? Yeah. Anyway, do you understand what I'm getting at?
Yes.
So, okay, so you think it's not only about action, because it's always been about action. But the question is, who's doing the action? It's not a chesed to fullness if I'm in the way. It's not an act of glory to fullness if I'm in the way. It's not a Torah Tiferes Lishma if I'm in the way. It's not Netzach if I'm in the way. None of them are. Yeah? Until we finally get to Malchus Shebel Malchus, and then we're ready for Shavuos. Yeah, then we're ready for Kabbalah Sator. When we finally spend the last week getting out of the way. I want to be a good person. I want to be a righteous person. But I have to want, like from the deepest place of myself, is because I want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be experienced in the world by me and people who I'm in contact with and in the world as a whole. Okay? So the last week, you have like, it's nice that you get to like be here and then you jump home. So then you get to land. Malchus is 2 feet on the ground. You get to land. And then you get to go be people with 2 feet in the world doing the work that you do. But just remember, the whole week of Malchus in preparation for Kabbalah Zatorah is that you have to get out of the way. Is Enor Milvado? Is it HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You want to make yourself a welcome home for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Midos to be active for you. And that's it. We're done.